The Speakeasy Podcast Network.
Men of Letters, a supernatural podcast.
This is Dad's single most valuable possession. Everything he knows about every evil thing is in here. He's passed it on to us. I think he wants us to pick up where he left off. You know, saving people, hunting things, the family business.
Storm's coming. You boys, your daddy, you are smack in the middle of it.
House rules, Sammy. Driver picks the music. Shotgun shuts his cake hole.
No chick flick moments.
All right, jerk.
Bitch.
That Constance chick, what a bitch!
Or you think it's shooting Casper in the face, you freak.
Eat me. No, wait. You actually might.
Hope your apple pie is freaking worth it!
Hello and welcome to episode 8 of Men of Letters. Tonight we will cover episodes 15, The Benders, and episode 16, Shadows, from season 1. Now we may sound a little different. Well, that's because Katie and I are recording in an honest-to-goodness studio. Studio 300, located in the wonderful and majestic Bolingbrook, Illinois.
No!
Now, if you listen to my other show, That Horse Show Podcast, we actually record here until the middle of our third season. I believe that was in August of 2017. So it's a little bit of a homecoming for me. I then moved up to Minnesota, and the rest, as they say, is history. So big thanks for Katie for getting us this sweet place to record this episode. And I honestly just looked at the locations for both episodes. Benders takes place in Hibbing, Minnesota, which is about 3.5 hours away from my home in Minnesota. And Shadows takes place in Chicago, which is roughly, we're currently located by, 25, 30 minutes outside of Chicago?
I don't know, but I'm a Southsider, so hell yeah!
So it just struck me as a little funny that we couldn't have planned out this recording better if we tried, which we truly didn't. I guess Chuck just saw fit to make it happen.
Yeah. Hell yeah, Chuck.
Chuck, yeah, God.
I love Chuck. You guys don't know who Chuck is yet, but he'll be coming up eventually, and Chuck is the man.
Yes. Or God.
Or an entity.
So, without further ado, hey, Jerk, what's new?
Not much. I hate my children, and they're bad, and Christmas is coming, and Santa will not be getting them. They will be getting Krampus.
Oh, goodness. I just said Christmas time is right around the corner. Are you ready for Jolly Saint Nick? Apparently not.
I'm ready for Christmas Krampus. No, they're all right. They're good. Oh, we're all good.
Good.
Living the dream. Bolingbrook, Illinois.
Oh, man. Yes. So Christmas time is right around the corner. So we're getting all of our plans ready for the rest of the season, and it's going well. So I guess it's time to pause for our first Speakeasy Network commercial break from the Mark and Ken Video Store podcast, and then we'll roll that WBCW trailer for The Benders, and we'll be right back after this.
All right. We have Murder, She Hoed, Not 60 Minutes, a porn parody. Oh, and little video game action, too, with some Granny Turismo. Well, here you are, ma'am. We'll see you back here in a week.
You here to seduce me? Oh, no, please. Seduce away. It's been so long. Though I rather think it's all for naught.
Hey, Mark, did you finish checking the video store for any customers? I don't want another repeat of last week, you know. The last thing that's this video store that we're keeping open so that we can dig ourselves out of massive debt that you were told about in the past by my future self is to have Hobo Mike or Small Talker or Tom or either of the two ghosts of people that died decades ago or any of the other crazy characters that we seem to interact with on a monthly basis given free rein in here overnight.
Yep. That's what we're all about.
Whatever. Did you finish your store walk or not?
Well, I'm back in the front of the store, aren't I? Jesus.
You know, I'm impressed with you, buddy. You know, I think you're finally taking this all seriously.
You know what? Funny thing. I actually forgot my jacket in the store or something. I don't know. I mean, you don't have to wait for me. I got to go back in, though, okay?
But aren't you where...
All right, everybody. Ken is gone. Party!
Ooh, yay!
I'm super hard!
The Mark and Ken Video Store Podcast. Scripted for your pleasure.
Tuesday, a secret hunting ground with the ultimate prize...
What do you want with us?
...is man.
Wanna play games?
You hurt my brother, I'll kill you, I swear.
I will kill you all!
Fresh Supernatural on the WB Tuesday.
Episode 15, The Benders, directed by Peter Ellis, written by John Chabon, with an original air date of February 14th, 2016. And thank you to the fine people of Wikipedia for these great synopsis. Say words now. Okay. This episode currently sits at an Internet Movie Database user rating of 8.4 stars out of 10. So, Sam and Dean head to Hibbing, Minnesota, where a young boy witnesses a man disappear. While investigating, Sam is also abducted. Dean pretends to be a police officer in search of his brother and teams up with Deputy Kathleen Hudek, Jessica Steen. Although she soon learns Dean's true identity, she allows him to continue to investigate with her, as her own brother went missing in the same manner 3 years before. Despite this, she does not trust him and handcuffs him to the car when they find the kidnapper's property. Kathleen soon is captured and learns the culprits are a human family who hunt and kill people for sport. Dean frees himself and goes after her, but is also captured. However, this distracts the family long enough for Sam and Kathleen to break out of their cages, and the three of them subdue their captors. When Kathleen is later alone with the father, he taunts her about her brother's death, and she shoots him, and planning to tell the police that he tried to escape. She then allows the brothers to leave before more police and the FBI arrive to take the surviving Bender into custody. So that is the synopsis of The Benders.
I found it really difficult to not make, like, lots of, like, pew, 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 like noises.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah. And wee-oo, wee-oo. Just trying really hard not to do that during your
synopsis. My synopsis?
Synopsis.
That's a plural for more than one synopsis.
Lots and lots. That's
a synopsis. All right. So I really loved this episode. I don't know how you felt about it.
I liked it. One of my things about it that I really enjoyed was that you didn't know what was going on in the beginning. And those of you who are going to see it for the first time, you really don't. So I hope you watched it before you listen to this because it's going to ruin it for you. But it's like they take a break from all like the monsters and shit. And it's just like a bunch of asshole people who are creepy and weird hunting other people, you know?
For fun.
Yeah, for fun. Because people are fucking fucked up.
Yes. And I love that how it headed this like really like almost Texas Chainsaw Massacre, like Manson family, like really weird shit quality to it. Like it was very grainy. It was a very dark episode.
Yeah, it was super dark and it was like gritty and I don't know. It had that really good kind of horror story feel to it.
I like the lighting a lot used in this. The actor who played the father just really creeped me out. I thought he did a fantastic job. And there was one particular scene where Dean is uncuffs himself from the police car, and goes down, and he's sneaking around the Benders' house, and he sees the father in the kitchen, and all you hear is like this really old timey record player playing like this weird song, and you see him in the kitchen scraping. It sounds like metal against bone, and it is a very effective and very creepy scene, and it's probably one of my favorites in the episode.
Yeah, and they did like the cinematography, the makeup was good, the sets were really good. I did, you know, when you're talking about the guy in the kitchen sawing through a person, presumably, and how they had like different things hanging from, you know, how you have like an island and there's like pots and pans hanging. No, this guy had like all kinds of creepy shit hanging down and it's just like
bones and jars of teeth. Yeah.
Right. It's very backwoods kind of hillbilly
deliverance type
weird. It was awful, like how you're talking about the dad being super creepy. They did a great job with this guy's teeth, like I noticed that right away. And the little girl, she looked like something out of The Ring or Conjuring or something like that. Right. It was good.
Oh yeah. And the way he says, like when the police officer asks, why do you do this, he goes, because it's fun. I'm like, that is just fucking creepy as shit.
Yeah, it is creepy.
So I guess getting into the episode, we see a little boy looking outside the window, and he's watching a Godzilla monster movie, and somebody disappears, and he hears this large squeal, and he thinks it's a monster. It turns out to be, you know, the van that the Benders were using to abduct victims. And then we see the Sam and Dean come into town, being, I guess, was it not local police, but sheriff, state police.
And so they ask him the kid a bunch of questions, mm-hmm. and you know they're trying to figure it out. So what do they end up at a bar, of course.
Yeah,
you know
that's what they do when they're trying to
right
figure out their next battle plan. And
it's like, so I love when Dean's talking to the lady at the bar, and Sam's like, well, did you get any information besides her number?
Yeah, he's like, what do you take me for? I'm a professional. He's like, and by the way, yeah, I got the number.
I know, right?
Yeah, it's I really, again, the interplay between the two boys, between the two brothers is fantastic in this episode. You get the sense that that Dean is really upset and scared for his brother because he's not used to them up until this point, not used to Sam being on the losing end, you know, and being or disappearing, I guess I should say. And I really liked it a lot. I thought Dean did Jensen Ackles did a great job with his performance.
Yeah, you can it feels like after Sam goes out to the car, puts his things down on the trunk of the car, he's taken. You don't see what happens. You don't know what's going on. But you can really, Jensen Ackles did a great job of being genuine, you know, because mm-hmm. that would be, I mean, I could picture myself in the same sense, you know, that panic when you've lost somebody, you can't find them. Like when you're at the store with your kids and you turn around and
they're gone.
They're what the hell? It's like, don't hide in the goddamn wrecks. I want to be able to know where you're at.
Right. That's not funny.
It's not funny. And we all know that Sam wasn't hiding right. under a car or anything. So
right. And I love the fact that they used a cat as if Sam was Sam was investigating a noise or a bump in the night.
Yeah.
And then you see this white cat just licking himself on the trunk of a car, and then. Bang. Then he's...
Oh, no. It was under the car. So because he went to look under the car, you know?
Right.
Like the guy had in the beginning.
Right.
And so nothing happens, of course. He shits his pants over a cat under the car. But then when Dean comes out, he sees the cat. That's when he's licking himself.
Right.
And then, you know, he's asking a bunch of these guys, bikers from the bar, have you seen a guy, blah, blah, blah. And then he notices the cameras.
Right.
So then I think we cut to the sheriff's station.
Yeah, and he goes in there and he's talking to the sheriff and saying, you know, it's his cousin. I believe he says it's his cousin at one point, going with the story he made up for him. And he's like, we were at a bar and, you know, he just disappeared. You know, I went to take a leak and he was gone. And she's like, well, does he abuse alcohol? He goes, no, two beers in and he's singing karaoke.
Right.
So Sam's a lightweight. And so then she wants more information so she can officially go to, I guess it was a state traffic cam.
Yes.
And so she needs more information so she can look up all the info. So he gives her the information and looking up also, when she looks up Sam, she sees her brother Dean. He's like, oh, and Dean, he's deceased and he's got kind of, you know.
He's a murderer.
He's like, yeah, Dean was always a black sheep of the family, but a handsome guy.
Exactly.
So,
classic Dean.
Yeah. And she's like, Winchester, like the rifle? Like the rifle.
Right.
But.
And she really wants to, you know, go follow the rules and make sure she does the proper procedure. And he's all like, oh, but, you know, could you please? He works the Dean magic on her.
Yeah. He's almost using the Sam puppy dog eyes to try to get what he wants. And he kind of does. And, well, he does.
He does because he's, you know, concern for his brother.
Right. So then there was a lot of, I wouldn't say a montage, but it was like you see him going and looking at the cameras and talking to the police officer, and they're also running down the roads and going through all these different, I guess, what's a good term? It's not roads, but different, like,
yeah, it's a road. It's not like a street. Yeah. It's like a back road.
And all these roads have private driveways, they just come out of nowhere. And sometimes you miss them if you're not looking looking closely enough, and they end up on the benders.
Yeah, well, I mean, and then while they're doing that, they're cutting back and forth, and I believe they're showing Sam in the cage with the guy that they're looking for.
Yes,
Jeffrey Akers or something like that.
That makes sense. Yeah, that sounds about right.
So, you know, and Sam sees that, you know, oh, you're this guy, blah, blah, blah. But then you see the creepy guys come out. They unlock the cage. they feed the one guy, not
the first
Sam.
Victim.
And then they lock everything up again.
Mm-hmm. Oh yeah, and then Sam is trying to pull on like these cables that are in the cages, and he pulls it down, and then he breaks a bracket off, and it falls into the cage. He's like, "Oh, I think you loosened something." He's like, "Yeah, I'm trying to fix it." He said, "Don't call me Sam." And he pulls down the cable hard, bops off a bracket. He goes, "Oh, thank God, we're saved now. We've got a bracket. That'll show him." And then the cage door pops open, and then the first victim says he escapes. And Sam's like, "It's a trap. Don't go out there."
Yeah.
It's like, "I'm going to go back. I'm going to get help. You stay here. You know, don't worry about it."
Right. Like, when they were talking, in that first scene they were together, you know, Sam is like, "What are they?"
Because mm-hmm.
at that point he didn't know that they were people.
Mm-hmm.
And that's, you know, you see the same thing with Dean, where he realizes when he's talking to the sheriff and then some squeaky van drives by, like he realizes it's people. So they know what they're dealing with. And I think he said something like, "Monsters and demons I can deal with, but people?"
Yes. Yeah. Oh, yeah. In fact, I wrote that down as one of my favorite lines of the show episode, where he says, "Demons I get, people are crazy."
Yeah, pretty much.
and he goes, and then he was talking to, I think it was when both of the boys were together with the sheriff, and they're like, you know, when he first comes up on the cage, before he goes into the house, look for the keys to unlock the cage. And he's talking to Sam. He's talking to the sheriff. And he's like, "This isn't like our normal play. These aren't like our normal playmates. We don't know what the rules are here."
Right.
With our normal playmates, there's certain rules and, you know, things we go by.
Yeah. Well, because monsters and demons and like vampires and werewolves and stuff like that, they all have this like main thing that they want.
Mm-hmm.
There's a system. There's a purpose to what they're doing, what they want. So it's predictable, whereas people are less predictable, you know.
People be crazy.
People, bitches be tripping.
Yeah. So I forget. Where are we off? We're at the point where –
Well, okay. So they roll up on the Bender's house.
Right.
You know, Sam – the one guy is let out.
Mm-hmm.
But Sam's trying to argue with him, like, okay – don't do it. It's not safe. It sounds like a trap. And then you find out that these crazy people are chasing him through the woods. That guy stabs him in the leg, but then eventually they spear him something.
I think spear him. Yeah.
And it's like, okay, spears. Yeah. Why not? And then you see the sheriff and Dean, and the sheriff goes to shake Dean's hand and, you know, tricks him and locks him in handcuffs to the squad car.
Because the previous scene. She's going to the sheriff's going to take Dean to jail because she ran Dean's badge number they gave, and the badge number came up stolen by, I guess, an Arizona police officer.
Yeah.
It turns out to be an African-American police officer.
Who was overweight.
It was overweight. And then Dean's like, "Yeah, I got that, the skin condition," Michael Jackson's skin condition.
He's like, "I lost a lot of weight."
And then she's about to take him in, but then through typical Dean fashion, he convinces her to say, "Look, you know, I pretty much saved this kid from a fire." Or maybe you said that earlier.
No, yeah, I think he did. And he was just, you know, "I'll do whatever you want.
You can throw me in jail later, but can we please find my brother? He's missing." And then that's when the sheriff glances up at a picture of her and her brother on her rear view or visor. And she's like, and he's been missing for 3 years as well.
Yeah.
So she kind of sympathizes with Dean and kind of takes pity on him a little bit. And says, "Okay, but we do it my way, and then I'm going to throw your ass in jail later."
Yeah.
So
and then that's when we get to the squad car rolling up on this road, and she locks him to the handle of the car. And then the officer is caught by the Benders.
Yes.
And so –
by Missy. She's
I know, right. So yeah. She goes, "Little girl, is your mommy home?"
No, she's dead.
I know. And then she's like, "This is going to hurt."
Yeah. And after she shows a picture of Sam, she's like, "Yeah, this is going to hurt."
Right.
And then here comes Pa.
And then clocks him in the back of a head with a shovel or something.
Yeah.
You know, because hillbillies, that's how they do. And so then they throw her in the lockup with Sam, and they get to talking a little bit, and he's like, "Mom, my brother, he'll save us." And so you see those two hillbillies coming towards the squad car, and Dean is freaking out because he's locked up. He's got the handcuffs on. And I thought this was clever, where he reaches over and unscrews the antenna I didn't know those things unscrewed. Yeah. Surprise.
My antenna unscrews, but there's no way it would fit into a lock.
Yeah. Oh, he broke it. Did you notice?
Oh, like, he broke it?
He did. He bent it, and then he broke it.
Oh, yes.
And so then that's what he used to pick the lock with.
Oh, okay.
So then, you know, the brothers take the car, and he goes, rolls up into the barn or wherever it is that they're keeping Sam and the officer. And so what do they do? Oh, so he's talking. He's like, yeah, I'm going to go look for some keys and figure this out. And she asks him, did you see what was it? A Camaro or was it a Mustang or something?
Yeah, late model, yeah.
Like a muscle car that was about 10 years old. And he said, yeah. And so then, you know, Sam, of course, is like, I'm sorry.
Basically confirming that her brother was killed by these yahoos.
Right. And then so Sam or Dean is goes up to the house, kind of starts peeking around, hears the creepy music, the bone sawing in the kitchen. Mm-hmm.
He turns the teeth around in the jars.
Yes.
Yeah, the ears. I think there's some ears, right?
Yeah. You know, why not?
You know, appendages everywhere.
Yeah, that's good stuff. Just make a necklace out of those ears. Or earrings. Why not? But so then he turns around and he sees this little girl and he's like, I'm not going to hurt you. And she's like, I know.
But I'm going to cut you or something.
Yeah.
Like,
she's got a knife and she goes to like, so she pins his jacket to the wall with this knife.
Daddy!
Right? And so, you know, there of course there's this like fight scene, and so
a scuffle,
yeah, like a kerfuffle,
kerfuffle,
a hullabaloo.
Welcome to the 1950s.
Yeah, you know me and my lingo. I love to use them old words. So I feel like I got to talk with a drawl now,
y'all.
Right. So there's like the fight scene, and he's kicking their ass, and he's kicking their ass. But then he doesn't realize, of course, there's the third guy who comes in and hits him in the back of the head with a 2x4, because you know that's how hillbillies do.
I sense a pattern here,
right? Like that's all they got is a 2x4 and a shovel to the back of the head. It's pretty much par for the course of the hillbillies, I suppose. But then what do? They tie him up or some shit, right?
Yeah, they tie him to a chair, and they're going to interrogate him. They're like, are you a cop?
Are there anybody looking for you?
And what other law enforcement is like, you brought this down on my family, you know, kind of stuff. Like, really kind of off-the-wall stuff. And he's like, no, I swear. He's like, and then I believe he says, why don't you guys eat me? He's like, no, you might just do that.
Yeah, there were some pretty good lines that he was using because, you know, Dean's character is a real smartass. And
it's a line from the intro of our show, Dean saying that line. Don't eat me. Or eat me, don't eat me.
Yeah, eat me. No, don't eat me. But yeah, so he's real. I love when they work in all this like witty, snarky crap. Mm-hmm. It's like that's one of my favorite parts about the show.
Right.
Excuse me. So I figure like if they don't have that, then it's not the same show without the snark.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. I mean, and we got the girl torturing Dean. They bring up a hot poker to his eye, you know, say, you know, and basically giving Dean a choice. And Dean finally chooses that to let Sam go because he feels that Sam could survive on his own against a hunting of these two. The Papa Bender gives Dean a choice saying, okay, we're going to you choose one to die. And we'll keep and we'll leave the other one live or something like that. And he said he wants Sam to be released so Sam could get out in the forest and probably take on these two guys by himself.
Right.
And then he goes – then the Papa Bender changes it. He goes, just open both cages. Just shoot them both. Shoot the boy and then shoot the bitch.
Yeah, because Dean said some smart-ass remark, which escapes me at this moment. Yeah. But
so something like he goes, we got to clean up this mess. You know, we can't have everything going on. Just shoot them both in the cages.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He's like, that's not the deal.
Yeah. So then he sends the boys out. He sends one of the Bender brothers out there, or sons. And I believe he goes in to get Sam, and Sam overpowers him, takes the rifle.
There's something with that bracket. That bracket did.
Yeah.
It was like, that guy didn't think that bracket was important, but you know what? Screw you. You're dead. The bracket was something.
Yes.
Don't be hating on brackets.
So they throw, I believe they don't kill that one. They throw him in the cage, right?
Yeah,
they,
I think so.
They take. So they throw him in the cage. They get the rifle from him, and then, in obvious fashion, the first son doesn't respond, and then the Papa Bender sends out son number two. to investigate. And
because they're not that bright.
Yeah. And he goes out there and he's looking for them. And he pumps some lead into one of the cabinets, thinking that one of them is hiding in the cabinets. And then they overpower him. And I think they shoot him. Or no, does he shoot? No, because one of them shoots Papa Bender, because the dad comes out eventually and has Missy watch Dean.
Right. Yeah, and there was there was some back and forth. I'm not really quite sure what was going on, but I know that the papa came out and they shot him.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't, I'm really kind of foggy on the details of that. I know there was more of a kerfuffle, or scuffle, however you like to call it.
Some shenanigans.
Shenanigans, of course. But yeah, there was a little bit of a interaction there, and so I think one of the guns went off, and then
it shot the dad.
Yeah, it shot one. Somebody got shot, and then the other one got hit, and then so I think the dad was on the ground and he's bleeding.
Yeah, because the son shot him. The second son shot him, and he was on the ground, and then I think
what's her name? The sheriff.
Yeah.
She's standing there holding a gun over him,
right.
And I'm not quite sure. Like, does she end up killing him?
She ends up killing the dad, the father, yes.
Yeah, because of her brother, because she lost her brother.
And she poses a question to him, like, why do you do this? He goes, because it's fun. And she goes, you're going to complain about your dad? He's like, or your brother? And she goes, why did you kill my brother? He goes, because it's fun. And that's when you see the shot of Sam walking away and you hear the gunshot. And then
she comes out
and she's like, yeah, he tried to escape.
Right. Quote unquote. Yeah, escape. But then the whatchamacallits are going to be here soon. They're going to have a lot of questions for you. Yeah. So I suggest that you get moving.
Yeah. And then they mentioned that baby's been impounded or in the police lot.
Oh, can you
give us a ride?
Yeah.
She's like, no.
Start walking.
Yeah, start walking. Duck if you see a police car.
Right.
It's like, thanks. We've done this before. And then they say sorry for your loss of her brother. And then we roll credits, right?
I believe so. I think that was pretty much it. Yeah, because they didn't let on to anything else after that.
Yeah.
They just took off.
Honestly, this was probably one of my top five episodes, top 10 episodes of the season. I mean, there's 22 episodes, maybe even of the series right now, top 10 episodes of the season, because I really and thoroughly enjoyed The Benders. I don't know how you feel. I mean, I give it a thumbs up.
Yeah, totally a thumbs up. I think it was great. For being like one of the non-monster episodes.
Oh, yeah.
It was good because later on, like, as you get like farther and farther into the series, you see like they don't do as much monster stuff. It's more like of like the story building of the characters,
mm-hmm.
as opposed to like hunting everything
right.
They see and doing all this research. And where in the beginning of the series, it's because they're looking for their dad, they're looking for answers, and mm-hmm. you know, one thing leads to another, and
tracking Azazel, and that's the whole thing.
So they do, you know, this is how they get the ball rolling. But as far as a non-monster episode, this is definitely.
And I think that's why it stands out, because it does feel like a supernatural episode without being technically a supernatural episode in my thinking.
Right.
Because I love that they I wouldn't say went off script, but they were looking for something and then it turned out to be something completely different. I thought that was just really original after like the first – this is the 15th episode. So, I mean, dealing with this, you know, ghosts and monsters and whatever. And I just thought it was really kind of – made it stand out.
Yeah, definitely shaking things up a bit and really making a change as far as what the norm is for that show.
And I wouldn't mind seeing that, you know, a couple more times. I mean, I know we're in the midst of season 14. And they just have finished filming their 300th episode.
Yeah.
And did you hear the news?
The big news. I'm so excited.
Jeffrey Dean Morgan is returning as the daddy.
Panties dropping, ladies. So good. I'm so good. I'm so in love with him on The Walking Dead. He just like melts my face and all my pieces into like liquid because he's just awesome. He's such a good bad guy. And now I'm like pushing for the Walking Dead. Like maybe that should be our next thing that we do. But I love me some Walking Dead. I love Negan and the whole like the thing. What is the thing?
Let's get to the next 13 seasons.
I
Love that. I'll do that when I'm looking for my kids in the store.
You know what? There was a episode last year on Supernatural where Dean walks in with the Negan bat.
Oh, my God. Yeah, that was good. And he like throws it on the table.
Like, Dad loved this thing.
Yeah, Dad would love this thing. It really works out good.
Yeah. So a little shout out to the
Jeffrey Dean Morgan.
Papa Winchester.
Yeah, Papa Winchester.
I'm just going to call everybody Papa now.
How about
that would be weird.
Well, then you can do that, and I'm just going to call him Daddy.
It just got weird.
Oh, my God. You should see Tim's face. It's amazing.
It got the who farted face.
No, not even. It was like this like pukey, like, ugh.
I like Jeffrey Dean Morgan, just not in that way.
Mm-hmm. What about college?
I didn't go to college.
Oh, no. High school dropout.
Yes. High school. Who went to high school? Junior high.
Oh, the Benders, of course. Yeah. They didn't go to high school.
They got all the way up through kindergarten.
Right?
So
I got me a sixth grade education.
So I guess I really have nothing else to say about the Benders. Do you have anything else?
No, it's really a good watch. I really hope that if you haven't watched it previous to this recording that you do. You really should watch it. And I know we just, you know, total spoilers all over when we do these episodes, but it's a good episode.
Yeah, it is really a great episode. And that brings us to the two classic rock songs used in the episode. And thank you to the fine people at TuneFine.com. Number one was Rocky Mountain Way by Joe Walsh. And number two, this is the song that was used in that scene where where Papa Bender's cutting all that stuff up in the kitchen. It's called The Sweet and Lowdown from Top Toes by George Gershwin. So
if you want to play something around Halloween, it's totally
fucking
creepy.
So for this episode, for the Benders episode, we have seven fun facts. The police station in this episode is the same police station used in season one, episode 3, Dead in the Water. This station has also been used in numerous other episodes as well. Number two, and now this one's kind of funny. As Dean is left handcuffed to the squad car, he says, "I gotta start carrying paper clips." It's a reference to the scene in the Supernatural pilot where Dean uses a paper clip from his dad's journal to free himself from the handcuffs.
Yeah.
Number three, this episode takes place in Hibbing, Minnesota, which is the hometown of Sheriff Donna Haskam. However, Donna is not introduced until halfway through season 9.
Don't they use the sheriff's station for that also?
They probably do.
Because that station looks familiar, and I haven't even been to jail.
Yes. Oh, and this is – I'm a big history buff, so number four really struck a chord with me. The murderous Bender family is based on an actual family named Bender that killed visitors to their Kansas City hotel in the 1800s. They have 11 known victims, including an 18-month-old child. However, due to the high number of people who went missing, they are thought to have killed more. While no one really knows what happened to the family, Laura Ingalls Wilder wrote about the search in her memoir. She claimed that her father was a member of the posse that formed to find them. And when he returned home, he appeared rather worse for wear, suggesting that the family may have been found and killed. So that's pretty interesting.
Yeah, it's not in The Little House on the Prairie, though.
No, I doubt that. That's a little
none of those
too
books.
NC-17.
Yeah, totally disappointed. I would have liked those books a lot more if I had known that was going on.
Number five, the actress who played Missy, Alexis Fast, returns in season 7 as a different girl named Emma, Dean's daughter in The Slice Girls. She became Dean's daughter from a one-night stand to an Amazon named Lydia. She aged rapidly, which was normal for an Amazon. So if you remember Slice Girls from season 7, I don't know.
That's way far away. I don't think. It's been a while since I've watched season 7.
Okay. So number six, the set used as the Benders household is also used as Bobby Singer's home later in the show's run. So the Benders house is now Bobby's house.
Poor Bobby.
Yeah. And finally, number seven, Sam and Dean return to Hibbing, Minnesota in season 10, episode 8, called Hibbing 911. a little shout out to Reno 911, the television show. So that's all I have, Katie. Nothing else?
No, I got nothing. I said everything I was going to say.
Okay. So leaving Hibbing, Minnesota in the rearview mirror, Sam and Dean head south to take on a case in Chicago, Illinois. Sweet home, Chicago. Okay. But first, let's pause for our final Speakeasy Network commercial break from throwing a controller, and then we will roll that WBCW trailer from the episode Shadow. We'll be right back after this.
I'm gonna shoot you down. Chris, you suck at this.
Man, it's lag, shut it.
Maybe we should play Final Fantasy Mystic Quest.
I got next.
Son of a goddamn fuck.
You love it.
Now that that's out of the way, we here at Throwing the Controller get together to talk about video games of all types, retro, current, whatever we choose. So join myself, Chris Barreras, Eric Barajas, and our digital Jedi, Brian Warren, as we dive into the world of video games.
Let's give the people what they want.
And join our Facebook group, the Speakeasy Video Game Group.
I'm Gina Linetti, and I approve this message. I love you!
Seeking answers and searching for their father. Tuesday, they're one step closer to the truth.
Hey, boys.
Dad.
Fresh Supernatural on the WB Tuesday.
All right, Katie, why don't you take it away?
While investigating an animalistic death in Chicago, Illinois, the brothers find a symbol of blood, which Dean later learns is connected to a Zoroastrian creature known as a Deva. They later run into Meg Masters, and Sam's suspicions of her lead him to discover that she was behind the murder. They confront her, but she reveals that it is all part of a trap set to capture their father. Sam and Dean manage to turn the Devas against her, and she is thrown out of a window several stories to the ground below. When they return to the motel, they find their father was waiting for them, but Meg returns and once again sends the Devas after them. Sam dispels the Devas with lightning flares long enough for them to escape. John then once again leaves his sons, feeling that they are vulnerable when together.
Vulnerable?
Now, wait, should I do the Tim thing? Or
they don't know that because I edit that part out.
John then once again. How about this?
Kate, whenever he mentions John, she can't help herself.
John, that's what she said. Speaking of the toilets, they're deplorable upstairs. John then once again leaves his sons, feeling that they are vulnerable when they are all together. So what do you think there, Billy Bob Jimbo?
Billy, give me my notes back. We're all professional here. I actually did like Shadows, not as much as the Benders, but I thought it was a solid outing. What did you think, Katie?
I really liked it. Anytime they do anything near Illinois, I'm like, Rockford! Yeah, Chicago!
Joliet! No way!
Right? Joliet. That's not how we say it here.
Yeah. How do you say it there again?
Joliet.
Oh, okay.
Shut up. It's not jolly because it's not jolly down there.
Joliet? What did I say, Joliet?
You said Joliet. Oh,
I'm in the Christmas mood.
Yeah, whatever. Spirit. Holly Jolly or Selfa. I was away.
I don't know what you're talking about.
Mm-hmm. So, I know that's right.
So this episode is at a Internet Movie Database user rating of 8.7 out of 10 stars. So to me, I mean, I guess that's fair. I would expect it maybe just a tad bit lower. I thought Bender's was a better, stronger episode, but yeah, it was written by Eric Kripke and directed by Kim Manners, who is a longstanding director in the beginning of Supernatural and was a veteran of X-Files. So there's those definite overall feeling of the darker moments.
Yeah,
that
totally comes through.
Yeah. So, I thought it was really good. I liked the opening clinching scene where you see the girl walking home from the bar, listening to her music, whatever it is, and then her getting like this strange feeling overcoming her of dread, and she runs up and so she's being completely safe. She's locking the door, she's setting the security alarm, and she pops a beer and listening to her answering machine. Yeah, do you know what an answering machine is yet, you youngins?
Oh my god, right?
Oh god, yeah.
It's not voicemail.
Yeah,
it comes out of a box.
Yeah, it's
with a tape.
Yeah, is it, that's a tape or is it digital?
Dude, I don't know. What year was this done in?
You're going to make me look up stuff again? It's 2006. It was like...
Maybe. Some of them still had tapes. Some of them were digital. Just depends on how poor your parents were.
Well, she lived in Chicago, so in a nicer town, so maybe. I don't know.
I don't know. That alley she was walking through was a little skeevy. Her apartment did look nice, though, so who knows?
Yes.
I don't know. But she gets in there and she, you know, is like, okay, everything's fine. I locked myself in. I'm just going to go ahead and get a beer.
Yeah.
And then, you know, little did she know, dun, dun, dun.
The shadow monsters lurk.
Well, and I like that shot of her, like, her shadow is, you know, you see her shadow against the wall. And then, like, the creepy shadow of something, but you can't see it, like, comes up and it, like, digs its giant claws into her back.
While she's having the beer. And you see, as she's taking a sip of beer and the claws going right through her chest. It was – or the hand or whatever it was. Very, very effective. And then we cut to what, like, I think, was it 3 days later?
Oh, yeah. It was sometime later because what are the boys are like –
Well, they're coming from Hibbing, so it probably took them, you know, 8 hours, 10 hours to get there.
Right. Well, and then they get out of the Impala and they're dressed in, like
– Security
guy.
Security company jumpsuits.
Right, and Dean calls them costumes. Dad never needed a costume before.
But which is funny because in the Benders they were wearing a costume. They were impersonating a police officers.
I guess cops are cooler then. But they weren't really wearing a costume. He just had his regular stuff on.
No, they were wearing a hat. They were wearing the ranger hats and the badges, and they had the uniform.
Okay, I'll take your word for it.
Because you don't want to look it up.
Right. I believe you.
But, you know, And then he started talking to Dean or Sam about how not a turkey for our town, but some other kind of play that he was in as a kid.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, because they're wearing costumes. Yeah. And
You were pretty good in that.
You were cute, he says. It's kind of funny. So then they run up to the apartment and the landlord lady lets them in and kinds of
And I loved her, like, her few lines. She was a very salty, like, total Chicago, like, landlady.
Yeah, like, this lady probably lived on the block from me. Yeah. Like, I knew people like this.
Bang up job your security company's doing.
Oh, right. Super sarcastic.
Yeah.
But yeah, so she lets them in and they're taking a look and asking her some questions, which is, you know, you usually hear the police asking that, but it's because they're the security firm. It's not out of the ordinary for them to ask that. And then they're like, all right, do you mind if we spend any time up here? And she's like, no, and says something snarky and then is on her way.
And then they ask if they had seen anything out of the ordinary. She says, yeah, it was whatever the girl's name was.
She was ripped to pieces.
Yeah. She goes, yeah, everything was okay except for poor Meredith. Meredith was found everywhere else. She was found in pieces here and there like that. But, you know, the windows were locked. The door was deadbolted. The chain was on. The security system was activated.
Yeah, they had to cut through the chain to get in.
And then she says, again, bang up job your security company's doing.
She's super funny.
Yeah. So the boys are investigating. And then as per usual,
they pull out the
EMF.
Recorder
and they start marketing the blood splatter and stuff like that,
which I had never seen them do before. So something new. I mean, unless they noticed a pattern, I really didn't notice it. Yeah. But you know, I'm not them. Hunting monsters.
Yep. So after that, they, as I say, as per usual, they go to the bar.
Yeah.
In the evening, you know, to talk about the case, because that's what you do after you see something horrific and you're trying to contemplate your next move. You have a couple of shots and some beer.
Right.
So who do they run in at the bar randomly? It's just some Chicago bar.
Oh, Meg. Meg Masters. Good old Meg. Skanky looking Meg. Talking into her bowl of blood. Not at the bar, but, you know, from the.
Yeah, that might creep out the other people around her.
Yeah, no. That was like from a couple episodes ago. Slashing a guy's throat, putting the blood in the bowl, and it bubbles, you know. Yes. Skeevy Meg.
And then we see. Sam, like, go up to her and hug her and say, hey, you know, how things are going, blah, blah, blah. And then she sees Dean come up and then she kind of goes all bitch mode on Dean.
Well, because he was, like, standing there and he's waiting for Sammy to introduce him or whatever. And he's like,
excuse you.
Yeah, and he does it a couple of times and she's like, cover your mouth.
Yeah. Oh, she goes, oh, this is a brother that drags you around, treats you like luggage and doing all this stuff like that. She goes, what are you doing to me, Sammy?
I know, right? Like, why you got to talk smack about me with some random chick?
And as they're leaving the bar, he's like, well, I'll go do some research on her. Oh, he went to check up on her because he gave her phone. She gave him this phone number.
Yeah.
And last name.
Yeah, because he totally was like, this is too much of a coincidence.
Yes.
You know, that this stuff just happened and he just happened to run into her. Mm-hmm. And So they find out that McMaster's is a person with an address from,
like, I think Massachusetts or something like that. So her story at this point checks out, even though it is very coincidental.
Yeah.
So
she's skeevy.
So Sam and Dean split up. He goes, and I believe they had even a line where he's like, "Yeah, and she wasn't even that into me."
Right.
Like, what the hell does that have to do with anything?
She was skeevy, Dean. She doesn't deserve you.
And so Dean separates to go to look up the information on Meg and check it out. And he goes to check out to stake out Meg. He's like, yeah, you are. You're going to stake her out. You know, check her out. He's like, I'm no pervert. And he's like, yeah, sure, whatever.
Right.
And then he's sitting out there. And I love it. There's a scene where he's sitting in his car looking out the window and she's changing. And a woman walks by with her dog – or no, with her boyfriend or husband.
And
she's like, pervert.
I know.
He's like, no. And then she goes, whatever. And she just walks away.
Yeah. And then when he looks back, the light has gone dark.
Right.
So no more peep show for him. But what does he do? He ends up in the building and is he climbing old elevator shaft?
I think so. I think, isn't that later on during with Sam? They might have done it twice.
Yeah, they did do it twice. So.
Okay. Once by himself and then once with his brother. So yeah, he finds out that, I believe at this point, does he find out that there's something wrong with Meg?
Right. Well, so because he's like hanging on to the rails in the shaft. I don't know what kind of, if it's just like old timey elevator shaft or whatever it was. But she's in with her magic bowl again, talking to God knows who.
Yeah. So that sets off some warning bells for Sam.
Right. And then he sees her like turning around. So he ducks.
And I think she, at this point, you get the impression that she knows that he's there, but she's pretending that he's not.
No. And he like works himself up into the thing to take a look and then runs back to Dean to kind of report what he's seen.
Mm-hmm.
And then I don't know what. What do they do next? It's like there's a birth certificate or something, I remember. It's Meredith Jane. Oh, because they're talking – I remember. They're talking about the two people that went missing.
Okay.
So was there any
– Oh, the connection between the bartender and this like middle-aged man.
Right, yeah. So this other guy had gone had been like torn up in the same kind of fashion as this bartender girl, Meredith. So they look for any kind of connection between her and him, and like they had no, like nothing was the same. They couldn't find anything out. But later they revealed that
they both were from Kansas.
Like that's where he came from, and then she was adopted. Right.
And originally from there.
Yeah.
So like this really kind of like, I guess it was maybe like a Hail Mary of like of some reference, because it would take a long time to find out that information. I mean, you could find out easily that the guy was from there, but she was adopted, so it took a little bit more digging.
Right.
But then we find out that they're both from Kansas, so that puts up another kind of like
a flag because they're from Kansas and all the stuff that they're like, you know, their mom and whatnot. You keep they along their like road to find their mother's killer.
Mm-hmm.
That a lot of the coincidences the people are from.
Yeah. And it was really interesting how they did that. And then I believe they both reconvene. Both Sam and Dean get together after the information. And they both, like, track down Meg, I guess, to another warehouse.
No, it's the same one,
same warehouse. Like,
yeah.
He comes back later with Dean.
Yeah. And so they climb the weird shafty thing again and
the ancient elevator shaft.
Yeah, ancient. I don't know what's going on with that elevator shaft. It could be wrong. Like, it could be something else. I wasn't really paying attention to that.
You're just looking at her butts.
I don't even think they showed his butt. God. That's whatever. I was going to go somewhere. I'm just going to keep it to myself.
Yeah.
But anyway, so they go. They both climb up this shaft and shit. You know,
yeah,
I said shaft. Yeah.
Shut your mouth. I'm just talking about shaft.
Talking about butts and shafts. You know, shafts. This is so great.
Oh, God.
I love having you in person, Tim. Nothing. It's just seeing your face. It's just so magical right now.
But between butt shafts and my face, I guess.
I
guess
hey,
I'm in good company. What?
Triple threat. Watch out. You better tell Chris. She's going to be in trouble. Hey now.
Okay, moving on.
Yeah, let's just get away from that right now.
Moving past the shafts.
So they get up the shafts. She knows that the elevator space. they get up to the top. They pull themselves up. She, you know, those little monster things with the devas.
The devas. I always want to call them divas, but they're devas.
No, you're the diva. So they kind of like go after Sam and Dean, and Meg is like, "Yeah, I knew this." Blah blah blah. And as they're like that whole kind of action scene is happening, one of the brothers orders the other one to go knock over the altar.
Yes.
So once they do that, that's when the devas kind of go after Meg and like throw her out the window.
Much like the episode Faith, where they destroy the altar and then Death comes after the Reaper. Woman.
Right. So. Oh, and so like, and that's when they find out that it was a trap to lure the boys there so that their father would come after them, because that's his weakness, is his sons. And then she says, like, she said some skanky-ass shit to Sammy and then gets all up in his face and, like, making out or whatever. And as they're, like, she's putting the moves on Sam, Dean is kind of trying to escape.
Mm-hmm.
He must have his paperclip at that time. But, He like, you know, she hears this click.
Right.
And so then she's like, well, what's going on? You know, has this attitude. And then so she goes over to Dean, and then it's Sam who kind of releases himself.
Right. He cuts himself free of some sort, right?
Yeah, he gets out of whatever kind of bondages he's in.
Because she starts using some sexual innuendo too, like, we've got some time, you know.
Yeah.
Like, we could do it.
Yeah. Skink. Get away from Sammy.
He's a good boy.
Just wait, everybody. Not so good after a while. Dun, dun, dun.
Spoilers, jeez.
Sorry. Foreshadowing.
And shadows. Interesting.
Yeah,
shadow.
Totally. So then that's when they kind of break loose and they knock over the altar. Then those devas push her out the window because she fucking deserved it. And the boys go back to the hotel, and that's when they see their dad sitting in the dark, because of course he's always sitting in the fucking dark.
Sammy.
Right.
He always talks in that weird, like, low voice.
Oh, yeah. And you know what? This morning I was watching this with my family, and my husband Rob was making fun of Dean. He's always like, Sammy! Sammy! So I'm watching this, and that's all I'm hearing through the whole thing is my husband going, Sammy! It's like, you're not doing it right. Stop!
No, stop it!
Anyways, so they find their dad, and it's all happy, happy. They do their classic, like, I love you moment of, mm-hmm. like, everybody's reunited and happy. It's like that feel-good moment. And then, of course, Meg drags her ass off the ground and comes towards them. And as she's walking down the street, she's, like, twirling this little necklace or something mm-hmm. in her hand. And that's when you see those devas go after the boys again.
Okay, okay.
And then there's, like, I don't know, there's more, like, that kind of fight knocking around scene.
Right, because now they're back at the hotel room, correct?
Right. Mm-hmm.
Of Sam and Dean, and then that's when they run to the father, and then they're like, and then they use they use some sort of like
these like magic glow stick things.
Yeah, like gosh,
like a flash, yeah, like yeah, a some like kind of
like flashlight,
flash
bomb, or
yeah,
a flash
something.
Light. Yeah, I wouldn't say a flash.
Like it's like a flare gun, except it's not. You don't shoot it. He just kind of broke it,
yeah.
And it was like a very bright white light,
right.
Instead of like.
I do remember that part. Yes,
that you know, when you use a flare gun, you shoot it in the air and it turns red. This mm-hmm. was like
white light,
a super sparkler.
Mm-hmm.
So it flashes. They get away because you know they're shadow monsters. So mm-hmm. when there's no shadows,
yeah,
they you know.
Yeah, I don't even know how do you kill him per se, because
I don't think they discussed that. I think they just like got away,
right.
Because of the light, and I don't know what that must have drove them off wherever. Because mm-hmm. then you see the boys and dad hanging out, you know, by the Impala, and you know they don't want, you know, he doesn't want to leave them, and you know, and then I think it was Dean who said, you know, we should separate. It's more important because they'll get to you
mm-hmm.
If we're all together, and
right.
it's not going to be safe for, you know. And then Sam and the dad are like, But I don't want to leave you, Dad.
Yeah, we just got back together. He's like, we're more vulnerable together
than apart.
Because I'll always be worrying about what you guys are doing and all that stuff. So
kind of like an out of sight, out of mind. Right. But, you know, trying to be protectful. Yeah,
but this is the first time we actually see Jeffrey Dean Morgan or Dad in any kind of capacity, because before it was always, I wouldn't say even flashbacks, but like he was only in the opening scene of the first episode, and then we saw him in Home at the end
with Missouri. Yeah.
So I mean, and you see him on the every once in a while, maybe you'll see him on the phone or hear his voicemail or hear something like that. But this is the first time you actually see them together in a scene, all of them together.
Right.
So that was really kind of cool, even though it was only for like a couple of minutes.
Yeah. So. Well, and originally they weren't going to have Jeffrey Dean Morgan come back so many times, but I think because he was a fan favorite, that's why they did.
Yeah. And I think I was reading that he came back like 12 times over two seasons. So he was, even though he's very much a part of this universe, supernatural universe, he's not in it a whole lot. I mean,
no.
And in fact, Mary, up until very recently, up in the past two seasons, it was only used in a series of flashbacks, and she was in Home, obviously, and then she was in a flashback where Dean was taken by a it's coming up where he was taken by some sort of a monster that they grants their own wishes, you know, gives you your favorite dreams, but you end up sucking your life force out of you.
Oh, what is that?
Yeah, it's they're blue. They're called, I don't want to say genies, but they kind of grant your wishes. They grant your, oh gosh.
Oh, this is gonna bother me now.
Yeah.
Like
I know it, but it's on the tip of my tongue. But I can't get to it.
Why can't you? It's on the tip of your tongue.
Yes,
huh?
It's in the back of my memory. I know what it is, but
it's in the back. Sure.
With
like
a bunch
the
of
shaft.
Other stuff. Too many penis jokes.
I know. Right? There could never be too many penis jokes.
Oh,
God, it's gonna bother me.
Yeah,
what is it?
I could literally see the monster's face.
Yeah, and doesn't it have like the glowing eyes or
something? Yeah,
It's not one of those changing.
No, no, it was. It's not shapeshifter. It's
Oh God.
This makes for good podcasting,
right?
Yeah, right.
We're gonna take a space.
Okay, while Katie looks up the information, I'll go over the four songs they used. Thanks to people at TuneFind.com. One was "You Got Your Hooks in Me" by Little Charlie and the Nightcats, and that's the opening scene with the girl walking. Number two is "The Night" or "The New World" by X, when Meg and Sam are talking and Meg is a bitch to Dean. Oh, and we're back. Go.
I remember. I got it. It's a Jin.
A Jin. Okay, Jin. Okay. And now back to the last two songs.
Oh, my God. It was making me crazy.
Jin. Thank
the
you.
Jin.
Yes.
Yeah.
Jin or Jin?
Jin is Jin, but it's with a D.
Yeah, okay.
So it's like crazy Asian
okay.
spelling. I don't know.
Okay. The third song is called "Pictures of Me" by Vu, the scene in the bar where they're going over the job detail investigating the murder scene. And number four, "Midnight Rider" by the Allman Brothers Band, the end of the scene as they're driving off, the end scene where they're driving off. So those are the four those are four songs used throughout the episode. So, okay, getting back to our discussion. Anything else you'd like to add?
No, I mean, I love Jeffrey Dean Morgan, and I'm glad I know the name of that monster now. It's Jin, because that only sucked up like 20 minutes of our lives.
Yes, when it's edited, it only sounded about like 30 seconds, but it's much, much longer.
Oh, my God. It was ridiculous. We're like, he's staring at me as I was Googling.
And I'm looking at my papers like, talk and say something now.
Oh, right.
Too much silence has passed.
Because literally I'm typing in glowing monster that gives good dreams from Supernatural. Like I'm trying
to. Ooh, that
like,
brings up a different search.
I know. Like I didn't put all those words in the first time and it didn't give me what I wanted. It just gave me an episode name and I was like, no, that's not right.
Okay.
Oh, I did want to ask you something. So I remember in this episode that maybe it was the last one, but they mentioned this woman's name. Like, haven't you ever heard of so-and-so? And they're like, no, we haven't. It was like, I don't know if that like was something that you would know, as far as like when the credit ran or, you know,
I don't recall.
Okay.
But moving on.
We've got four fun facts from this episode. One, Meg claims that she met something Chad something Michael Murray at an L.A. bar. This is a reference to Chad Michael Murray, who Jared Padalecki feuded with in The Gilmore Girls from 2000 and The House of Wax from 2005. So that was that's kind of funny.
Yeah, that was kind of funny. I think that's what I was referring to before.
Okay. Number two, in this episode, the victim's name is Meredith at the beginning of the episode, and she gets a phone call from Derek. In Grey's Anatomy, Meredith and Derek are the main love interest of the show.
Which Jeffrey Dean Morgan was on as
Danny Duquette, along with Missouri, the psychic who plays Adele Weber on Grey's.
She's like one of the head people on the show.
Yeah. Number three, Meg's phone number is 312-555-0143 and can actually be turned into 666. 3 plus 1 plus 2 equals 5. 5 divided by 5 equals 1. Add 5 equals 6. And then 4 plus 3 equals 7 minus 1 equals 6. This is intentionally given as Meg's this is intentional given Meg's true intentions.
Being with Satan.
Yes. So.
Which I like that too because I was like, hey, they got the area code right, 312.
Yes. Number 4, during the conversation, while tied up, Dean says to Meg, it's Miller time. This was a popular tagline in the 70s for Miller High Life beer. The tagline was reintroduced in 1997 and ran up until 2002 for the marketing of Miller Lite, which with declining sales in 2012, Miller beer once again brought back the famous tagline. So I think that's it. Do you have anything else you'd like to add?
I got nothing. I think this was a great episode. I was happy to see your face in person. This is very entertaining.
But me too.
I know you're going to get into big trouble if you don't hurry up because your wife has got you on a leash.
We are on a time schedule. We've got to get to my sister's for a Christmas party. So, well, Sam and Dean defeated the shadow monsters, and we see poor Meg Masters die as she's flung out the window of an old warehouse. But we haven't seen the last of this spunky gal yet. Methinks, I'm sure she'll resurface soon. Anywho, tune into our next episode where Katie and I will be covering episode 17, Hell House, and episode 18, Something Wicked. Thank you for tuning in to Men of Letters tonight. Tonight you heard commercials from the Mark and Ken Video Store podcast and Throwing the Controller. So be sure to check out those two podcast shows as well as the other wonderful podcasts over at the Speakeasy Podcast Network at www.thespeakeasypodcastnetwork.tumblr.com. Bookmark us and add us to your favorites. The Speakeasy Podcast Network can also be found on our official Facebook page, so join the fun, where talk is cheap and so are we. Also remember, if you have any questions or comments about the show, we would love to hear from you. Our official email address is menofletterssupernatural@gmail.com. We hope you all have the merriest of Christmases and the happiest of holidays and a wonderful New Year's Eve. We'll see you next year. Oh, Merry Christmas, jerkface.
Bitch.
For Katie, I'm Tim. Thank you for listening to Men of Letters, and we'll see y'all down the road, and good night.
Son of a bitch!
Thank you for listening to Men of Letters.